So today, the title of the message is The Mother Who Knew Who He Was. And, you know, I say this every Father's Day, every Mother's Day. It's so hard to present something perfect and know that we don't measure up, okay? So we just take that into consideration. So the misgiving is that we could close our hearts and close our minds to something if we feel that it is above our abilities to achieve. So life is not about being perfect. It's about growing and developing. It's about comparing myself with myself, where I was yesterday and where I'll be tomorrow. Now, in case we have a runner in our midst, We have a runner in our midst. And did you know Sebastian Sawe? He broke the London Marathon with a blistering 1 hour and 59 minutes and 30 seconds. That broke the old record of 2 hours and 3 seconds. But it broke the record. And the 15-year-old Boston Marathon, John Corr, shattered the 15-year-old Boston Marathon all-time course record, crossing the finish line in a staggering 2 hours, 1 minute, and 52 seconds. So how long is a marathon? He's not paying attention. How long is a marathon? 26 miles? So 26 miles, I can drive 26 miles in less than 2 hours. But I just thought I'd bring that up. And the idea is because people set records, but you just don't go out and do it. You just keep progressing and building on what was yesterday. And so as we see this, we see where we as individuals grow. We have a college graduate. We have high school going on, and you're going, what are you doing? You're comparing yourself with yourself and hopefully developing. I want you to know I did the four-year program in 6 years. So I was I was pushed to the max. Six years to do four. Okay, that's a joke. All right, so anyhow, you know, what you're doing is we're looking at our goals and we're setting them in a sense we're going to be better than yesterday. The trouble with most people and many people is we compare ourselves with somebody else. And when we compare ourselves to someone else, we can say, well, I'm just as good as they are. That's not the point. The point is that we want to be the person God has called us to be. So in order for that to continue to progress, we have to continue to learn. Yesterday was fine, but tomorrow I'm going in the right direction. So it's all those things that we put together. It's like the individual who climbed the ladder of success, only to find out it was against the wrong building. So we have the Bible places ordinary people with the Holy Spirit in their life, and they become that extraordinary person. So ordinary with the extra becomes extraordinary, and the extra is the abilities and our growth that we put into it ourselves. I always remember this one guy. You know, I counseled for 13 years, 15 years, and I remember the one individual. He was the most depressing person I'd ever met. he grew up in Johnstown, and during the winter, he would roll up in the rugs on the floor to stay warm. They didn't have heat in the house. And so he was very poor, grew up in a poor house and poor household. But he says, you know, I said, well, what about, you know, basically he's trying to pick yourself up. He says, well, I was up on the stool once. I think it was a bar stool. I was up on the stool once and I fell off. He says, you know what? I don't want to fall again. Oh, so you're going to lay on the floor? Yep. Okay, so that's the goal. And so some people never really understand that your future and your life is about going forward. It's about growing. So it's growing in our relationship with Christ. It's growing in our relationship with others. It's about being who you are. You were created to be someone. And that someone is in continual growth since the moment you were conceived. You have been changing and growing and becoming. And so we're in this whole process, and we're seeing how that God can work within our life. So on this Mother's Day, who is the extraordinary woman that I will be talking about today? Any takers? Don't worry, I'm not going to call you out. But it's Mary in the Bible, okay? Mary, the mother of Jesus. So this Mother's Day changes, excuse me, the Mother's Day message centers on the life of Mary. Now, we know that Mary was an important person. You know, she is the only woman in the whole, all of creation from the beginning of time till now that was worthy to be the mother of God. So it's important that we see that she was an individual who still was a human, and that she was part of the work that God wanted to do here on earth. And so the teacher, Mary teaches us that a godly mother is one who hears God's voice, meaning that understands Scripture and that the Spirit moves. Trusts God even in confusion, points others to Jesus, and that's kind of the outline of our message today. Mothers pray silently. Mothers worry deeply. Mothers love sacrificially. I think whenever growing up, you know, you're always worried about the kids, you know. All right, where are the kids, you know? Not saying that men and women have an exclusive hold on this, but men also worry about their kids. And when we look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, we see all of those things about concern and worry and, you know, wanting things to be good for Jesus. So she was chosen for an impossible assignment. All right? She was chosen for an impossible assignment. She needed to raise the Son of God. Now, I know some people think their kids are God, but they're not. Sometimes we think our, never mind. So anyhow, Mary's life was not easy. She was, to just reiterate, we know we do this at Christmas, I think it's a Christmas message now. Mary became, I mean, she was pregnant at 14, 15 years old. And at that time period, you know, she was betrothed to her husband, but she was having a child. So she was basically became an outcast of her society. She was, her husband had to believe that the child in her womb was the Son of God. So there were all these things, and she could have been stoned, you know, physically stoned for this being pregnant at the time. And yet God, what was God's opinion of Mary? She was highly favored. So the grace of God on our life is that God has us, you and I are highly favored by God. Now, not to the extent that we're like Mary, but we have the Holy Spirit coming to us that God's divine favor is on our life. And God wants to work in our life through the Spirit and through the Word. So through all the difficulties, Mary remained faithful. You would think that, you know, the early years would have been the most difficult, but really, I think it was the latter years in his ministry that became the most difficult, with the heartaches, the rejections, and the animosity towards him. So, and all these difficulties to come, and so I'm sure like Mary, like us, you never have an answer to the why questions. Why don't they like my son? He's the Son of God. Well, they didn't like him because he did not fit their pattern of what they needed, what they were looking for. So in Scripture, we find how God dealt with these same issues of misunderstanding, of sickness, of death of these, we deal with these same issues, and we do them through an ordinary means of our own consciousness and our own love and our own seeking for the blessing of God. So as we begin this message on Mary, we want everyone to know that Mary, now this was something I had to add, that Mary was not born of a virgin. So Mary's mother was not divinely conceived. You know, there's some in the Roman faith that's wanted to elevate Mary to the status of Jesus, that she was divinely conceived, so therefore she is just as holy, and then Jesus is, you know, it's like he can't be human. He can't be human if his mother was divinely conceived. So he, you know, it's like he has to be human because it is the humanness that he died. And one of the questions you might I'll throw out there is, did you know that Jesus was born without sin? And we think, you know, we know that original sin, meaning that all of us are born in sin, meaning, you know, Adam and Eve sinned and, that you know, brought on the everyone else born in sin and need to seek forgiveness. But Jesus was human. He was mankind without the fall of Adam and Eve. So he was sinless. And that, but yet in all ways tempted as we are. So Jesus is the perfect human that would, so we don't have to fall into sin like Adam and Eve. We don't have to walk away from God. But God has come to help us see and understand the Spirit of God and working in our life so we can be that person who is dedicated to Christ and that we don't have to fall because everybody else did. So, the first thing that we look at is in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. So we've read this how many times? Always at Christmas, right? The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." This is an important understanding. Mary is highly favored, but guess what? So are you. Now, we're not Mary, and we're not going to have the divine conception, but we're going to be highly favored by God, and God's Spirit in His grace and mercy comes to us in that position. God doesn't come to us and say, "Well, you're a little less than the best, but, you know, we're going to work with you." No, He says, "You're highly favored. You are one of a kind." Amen. Yes, you know that. You're one of a kind. When God made you, He broke the mold. And we say, "Thank God." Yes. There wouldn't be room for two of us in this planet. So she was highly favored. And what is highly favored? The Lord is with you. And so that makes all the difference for Mary and this, you know, the conception and carrying the baby in her womb. You are highly favored and the Lord is with you. And what are the promises that we think of? God will never leave us nor forsake us. You are highly favored because you belong to God and He will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord is with you. So to remind ourselves of these things in the difficulties, Mary went through the difficulties. You know, she was having a baby and she wasn't married. And that was a stoning offense. And so Mary was greatly troubled at the words, wondering, "How on earth is this going to happen?" And Mary, you have found favor with God. That's verse 30. So, greetings you who are highly favored. And then Mary, you have found favor with God. The understanding is that each of us have that favor of God in our life. And, of course, Mary, she doesn't disagree, but she asks the question, "Well, how will this be? And how am I going to have a child? I don't have a husband." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Listen to this whole process, that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. When next week is Pentecost. And what is Pentecost? It's the Holy Spirit coming upon us. So we're not trying to say, well, we're going to be like Mary. No, but we're going to be a vessel that is favored by God, that His Spirit is going to, that His Spirit comes upon us to help us in every situation. So, and why? Because God is always with us. And then what does Mary say? She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be to me, may it be fully filled, may it be fulfilled. Be it unto me according to thy word," is the King James. So faith is receptive of God's word. We are receiving what God speaks to us. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. I'm the Lord that works all things together for good to those who love him and called according to his purpose." That's the word that speaks to us. And then the Holy Spirit comes and makes it real to us that we are highly favored and the favor of God is upon us. And we sometimes challenge that and say, well, look at the society that I live in. Look at the problems that I've had, that I've failed, I've this, I've that. God doesn't look at that. He doesn't say, "You don't quite measure up, but I can help you." You're highly favored. I will begin with where you're at, and we can follow him. "Be it unto me according to thy word." One of the things that I think is impressive is that Mary had nothing to go on except her spirit and her understanding of God. Because she's Jewish, and she's a 15-year-old, and she's not allowed in the synagogue with all the men and the boys. She has to stand in her own corner away from everybody else, a second-class person. And she, so here she is going to be the mother of God. And where does all this understanding come from? It comes from her heart and her relationship with God. I think I compare her to Job. Job is, there was nothing written. There was only his understanding of God. And his troubles came to his life. And what happened? He knew that he wasn't being punished, but society said to him, "You must have sinned somewhere, and that's why you have a problem." No, wasn't it at all. Job understood that God loved him, but he still didn't understand why things happen the way they do. That's the challenge. We don't have to know, we just need to trust. I'll move on to the second one. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem to the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. How many of you have ever lost your kid? How many of you are lying? The idea is you've lost your kid. We've lost our kid in the mall. This was in Scranton, it was David Michael, and we were doing something, and we said, after we do this, we're going to go down to the train, okay? Well, we did this, turned around, he's gone. He's just, 2 years old, three, whatever. He's gone. You lost your kid. Where's he at? Called security, did all this stuff. We don't know where he's going. He was gone for about an hour, and where's he at? He's down at the train. Because that's where we said we were going when we were done. So one of my worst fears, we would be skiing, okay? And we were out in Colorado, in the mountains and stuff. We're going down. David disappears down through the trees. And I'm terrified. Why? Because I can't get him. I can't get to him from where I am, and I'm not even going to try, because I would be a permanent marker out there wrapped around a tree. You know, so when they go places that you can't go, or that they've suddenly not showed up, you know, they were out and they're supposed to be home at a certain time. Where are you? Well, you know, I'm waiting. You know, and Rachel now understands that she has a 16-year-old. Why we were upset, wanting her to be home at a certain time. May that was the wish of the parent. May you have children just like you. Did your mom ever tell you that? So, mothers understand the feeling and the fears that when you cannot reach your child. Mary spoke from her heart, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us?" You know, this is later on in the text. His mother said to him, this is verse 48. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this?" Mary, that she was in such an ordinary relationship with her son Jesus, she had lost sight of the fact, this is God's son. Now, in another sense, can you imagine, what is God going to do to me now? I lost his son. I've lost the Son of God. Where is he? You know? And she was 3 days without him. We were an hour and terrified. Can you imagine being 3 days without your son, and he's in this city where there's a million people crowded into place, and where is he going to find himself? Where is he going to eat? You know, where is he going to sleep? You know, I don't know. But what happens? They find him in the synagogue or in the temple. And what's he doing in the temple? He's discussing religion. He's discussing faith in the scriptures. And so, well, the people are just astonished. But Mary says, "Why did you do this to us?" And there's a lot of argument on that verse, but it goes down and says, "Shouldn't I be about my father's business?" That's why I'm here. So Mary's love for Jesus was just as real and as certain as any mother's would be. Her concern was real, and her searching was real, that he had disappeared. So so Jesus wasn't hanging out in some corner with some, you know, some bad people. He was hanging out in the temple. So next one. John 2, verse 1. On the third day of a wedding took place in Cana of Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." Okay, so what do we have? We have the birth of Jesus, we have Jesus at 12, and now we have Jesus at the wedding. He's 30 years old, and mom is still trying to pull the strings. You never thought of it that way, did you? So whenever Jesus' mother says, "They have no more wine," Jesus says, "Woman," now this is not a disrespectful tone, and this is not a rebuke. It's a challenging statement, so to speak, for us to know that Jesus is, I don't want to say breaking the relationship, but that he is moving away from the house. He's moving out on his own. It's time for his ministry to start. And it's like, it's almost as if God, you know, Jesus was not prepared for this, but he was. And so they have no more wine. Now, in that society, a couple would be scarred for life if they ran out of wine. I mean, that would be one of those things. Well, you know, this couple, they got married 10 years ago and there was no wine. It's one of those taboos that you just can't allow it to happen. And so what does Jesus do? Jesus is concerned not only with his mother, but with this young couple, that their life not be scarred by someone's miscalculating of the wine. So Mary knew who her son was. And she knew that he was capable of doing much greater things than he has to this point. And so he is, and she's like, okay, Jesus, it's time for you to step out on your own. Well, whatsoever he saith to you, do it. That's the faith of Mary. Whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. So that's the word of God speaking to us. Whatever God is speaking to you in your spirit by the word, you know, to trust, to believe, to have faith in, to understand that God is going to be with you everywhere you go, and that faith is launching out, as it were, into what God is planning for you. Whatsoever he saith to you, do it. So there's six empty stone jars, and Jesus says, fill them with water. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd have filled them with water. I might have disappeared, you know. I'm not putting water in these jugs. They're going to hold us accountable for it. We stole the wine. But you see, lives can be changed, homes can be restored, hearts can be healed, because Jesus is there in you, in each of us. The fourth is, Mary had to release Jesus into his calling. One of the hardest things a mother has to do is to let her children go. You know, when you think about kindergarten or junior high, graduation, going to work, going to college, you know, it's all a matter of separation. And it's like you're letting your children go. Now, I know some mothers throw their kids out, don't let them back in. But it's not the mother's fault, it's the kids, you know. That's right, you know. So every mother understands the season of holding and protecting and keeping, but there comes a time in which we know they are growing. And Mary knew that Jesus is the Son of God, and do what he says. Do what he says. That's a very important part for us to remember, what Jesus says for us to do. We are to bear fruit. We are to be in touch with him. We are to pray and expect God to answer our prayers. So, but the reality of what Mary saw of the life of Jesus, she saw people rejecting him. She saw people criticizing him, mocking him, saw people crucifying him. Yet Mary, not understanding, still believed and trusted. Even though her heart was broken, he's still the Son of God. So we find that our trust and our faith is in God, not what we understand. Because in life, we're not going to understand everything. It's up to us to forgive, let it go, because where I was at yesterday, it's where I need to be. Where am I going now, and what direction am I traveling, and am I going forward? You see, we all have that responsibility to move on from where we're at, to grow in our understanding of God and his word, even in the painful seasons, and for Mary, even the times in which her son was betrayed. So, what made the difference for Mary? She knew who he was. Do you know who Jesus is? That's the question. People asked, Mary was saying, she knew that this is the Son of God. And all the things that took place in his life, she knew who he was. And that gave her a trust, a faith, an understanding that she can go forward. And in our life, we need to know who Jesus is. He is more than the Son of God. He is our Savior. He is the promises of God that are alive within our hearts. He is the one we can trust, we can obey, and we can point others to. He is the salvation, the Savior of the world. So every mother, your prayers matter. Always remember this, your prayers matter. Your obedience to what you know the truth to be matters. Your faith matters. Your example matters. And for us here at church, we thank God for all the ladies and their praying and prayers for the church and for others in the church. We thank God for those who kept believing and keep believing when times are difficult. And many of us here today because someone pointed us to Jesus. That's why we're here. And so, whatsoever he saith to you, do it. Whatsoever he saith to you, do it. Believe his promise and apply them to your heart. So let's, for 30 seconds, think, look at, remember the promises, remember the message, and which idea, which of Mary's encounters resonates with you? Is it his birth, being lost in Jerusalem or left behind, his first miracle, or his crucifixion? What do you think? What resonates with you? Remember who he is. I know who he is. He is my Savior. Amen. So thank you. Today is Mother's Day, Ladies' Day. We're grateful to you and for your faithfulness to God and to the church, to your families. And we just pray that God's blessing be upon you. And the answer to your prayers, the answer to your prayers, God inspires our prayers. So we believe that God will answer your prayers. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing upon our ladies, your children. We ask your blessing upon them and their families. Watch over them and keep them. Let this be a wonderful day of celebration of our relationship with you and with our families. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.